Now, you might recall that Tralee hairstylist Emma Quirk used to have a regular monthly slot on this show up to about a year and a half ago. And the slot was very popular, as I knew from feedback. And I'm sure many of you wondered at the time why the slot came to an end, and indeed why, a few months prior to that, Emma closed down her very busy salon here in Tralee Town Centre. Well, only now can we reveal that Emma had to walk away from her radio slot, and indeed walk away from her busy career, because she was dealt with the devastating blow that she can never have children of her own. But her diagnosis of early menopause and primary ovarian insufficiency, I beg your pardon, only came after Emma went through a very long search for answers. Now, this week, Emma made the very brave decision to go public with her story in the hopes of helping other women out there who might be on the same difficult journey. She spoke to me earlier, and at first she took me back to the very start when she started to feel unwell.
I suppose back in 2021, I started to experience just a couple of issues with my menstrual cycle. And I didn't really kind of take much heed to it. But as it started progressing, I suppose near the end of that year, I knew I kind of had to go to a doctor and just see what was going on. And I was putting it down to stress and things like that. So I did go to my GP, and it was kind of, nothing much was made of it, I suppose, at that stage. But for me, I had physical symptoms had started appearing. So like my chest size had increased, facial hair, you know, all these little things that I was going, God, where are these all coming out of? Or is it just because I'm getting older? You know, come around 2022, in January of 22, between January and March of 22, I actually put on a massive amount of weight. I actually put on 3.5 stone in the space of 2 months. So to me, this was a massive red flag, really, that I knew something had to have been wrong.
And you obviously knew that you weren't, you weren't eating any more than you normally did or whatever.
And that's the thing, like, and that's why I had been kind of questioning myself at this point, because I was like, God, why am I putting it on? You know, nothing had changed diet-wise. You know, there was nothing new in my life that would have put all this weight on. So like that, I had been still back and forth to my GP, and I was basically told it was all in my head and that I just needed a bit of counselling and just go away and lose a bit of weight, which obviously is a bit disheartening. Look, we all struggle with our weight at some stage of our lives, you know, and it can get us down. So you can imagine, like, when you're starting to be told all of these things, you do start to believe that it is in your own head. And I started actually going to counselling at this point because I just needed to try and figure out who I was. So at one stage I did say to her, I was like, is there something radically wrong with me? I can't seem to get a grasp on life. And at that as well, anxiety and depression had started setting in hugely. You know, you were trying to keep a smile on your face every day. I was burnt out. Aches and pains started to hugely appear as well. You know, at one stage they thought it was arthritis, and that went on for about a 3-year period. So going back to 22, in the end, I begged and pleaded for bloods to be done, and I wanted my hormones checked just for the fact that, like, you know, at this point I was going like 3 and 4 months without any period. And I never ever received the results of those bloods. I just took it upon myself and I actually moved GPs in the end. February of 23, I met a new GP. I explained everything to her. I explained how I was feeling, all the different physical symptoms, you know, and I just said to her, my life is spiraling out of control. And I said that I can't get a handle on it. Like, every morning I'd wake up and I'd say to myself, today will be a better day. I'll get a control on life today. And within 10 minutes, it was all gone backwards. She just went through everything with me and she just said, look, I'd love to read through your files, you know, see if there's something that's flagging in your results, and we'll go from there. So she contacted me within 2 weeks and she said, unfortunately, Emma, there is something in your hormones and we need to sit down and talk. Yeah, it just progressed from there. She ended up doing more blood tests. I had a couple of scans done. You know, she was just trying to eliminate a lot of things out. At that stage, she thought it was polycystic ovaries. But when the blood test came back, there is a female stimulating hormone, which was the huge indicator for me. So for my age at the time, I would have been 33 going on 34. my level of FSH was 51 when it actually should only be between 8 and 10 for my age group.
Okay, so that was a red flag straight away.
Huge. And that was what she had noticed in my files, that the blood tests that had been done 9 months previous that were never flagged to me, that the results I never got, it was actually 51 back then.
Okay.
So it had actually increased within the 9 months. So when you have this particular blood test done, they have to repeat it within 4 weeks. And the reason they have to repeat it is just to make sure that it's just not a fluke.
Yeah.
So it was repeated and I ended up that the result was still the exact same 4 weeks later.
Yeah. So the eventual diagnosis, just to bring the story along, was...
Yes. So my eventual diagnosis then was a condition called POI, which is also known as primary ovarian insufficiency or premature ovarian insufficiency. So it's the fancy word basically that's given to any girl under the age of 35, the fancy word for menopause basically. So I had actually gone full on into menopause.
And Emma... At that point, you still, I presume, thought that freezing your eggs would be an option if you were to want to have children down the line. So tell me about what happened when you and your mom went to the clinic to see about freezing your eggs.
Obviously, when all the blood tests and everything had happened, myself and the GP obviously sat down that time and she went through it all and she said, look, you know, when she gave me the diagnosis, she said, look, I presume... You would have always loved children, Emma. And I said, well, it would have always been something, you know, that I would have loved to have had. But she said, look, we'll get a blood test done. You get a particular blood test done to check your egg count. But she said, we have to get you to a fertility clinic, you know, and if the egg count is good, we can get your eggs frozen. So I had been advised to bring someone with me because you need someone there on a day of support because you just never know what's going to face you on the day, really.
Yeah.
So we went up and I met a lovely fertility nurse and a fabulous gynecologist. So we sat across the table, myself and mom, and the doctor and the nurse. He said, oh, I see on your form you're here to do egg freezing. And he said, and I see that your blood test is done for your egg count. And he said, I'm really sorry. But he said, you're gone too far. Your blood test is showing that the level is way too low and that, unfortunately, you're not ovulating at all and there is no eggs to freeze.
Oh, geez, Emma, that's some news to get in such stark terms, especially. I can't imagine what that was like.
Do you know, I suppose I still try and think back to the day just to see, can I remember much? But I don't. It was quite a blur, actually, to be honest, Deirdre, because at that stage they had to scan me that day. They had to do like an internal scan as well. And he wanted to talk to me more about it then, you know. So that day, when they internally scanned me, my right ovary was completely gone and my left ovary was only a minimum size. So he brought me back, obviously, into the consultation room and he had spoken to mom while I was in the other room as well. And he just said to her, please make sure that she doesn't rush anything.
Yeah.
So when we came back in and he just said, look, you need to go home. He was like, you need to get back to your doctor. He was like, our advice to you right now is you need to start HRT immediately. And he was like, you need to give yourself at least 2 years before you decide to do anything. So look, the way science has gone and the way, you know, things expand over the years, I will be fortunate enough that there is such a fertility treatment that I will be able to go through, and it's an egg donation. It gives you that smallest bit of hope, but at the time, you know, I suppose mom had asked the question, you know, to the doctor while I sat there, and she just said, is there any possibility of Emma ever conceiving naturally? And he just said, the chances are so, so low. It's a bare 1%. He said, we don't talk about it because we don't like to get people's hopes up.
Oh, God, Emma. Yeah. Thank God you had your mum with you.
Yeah, yeah. And I just, you know, I remember coming out of the clinic that day and we were walking back to the car. And I remember just dropping to my knees. Sorry, Deirdre.
You're all right. Take your time. Look, this is so hard. Take your time. I'm sorry for dragging it all up again.
No, no, absolutely. No, you're fine. Look, awareness has to be created on this as well. I just remember dropping to my knees and just saying to her, like, is there anything else that can be thrown at me?
after all you'd been through.
And I think that was my final straw. And I just had to take a couple of days to myself that time, try and figure things out and just move forward. And I suppose that's where it led then. That's why the salon closed. I had to put myself first. I had to put my health first. And I just needed just to de-stress the body a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And take control, as they say.
You're listening to Emma Quirk, who most of you will recognise used to have a regular slot on with us, a hair slot, talking about hair and hair dressing and all of that. But she's telling us a very personal story about being diagnosed with a very unusual syndrome called primary ovarian insufficiency. And that happened last year. And we'll bring you part two of Emma's story after this break.
Talk About on Radio Kerry, sponsored by Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney. From a romantic meal for two or a special celebration, you won't find better food served by friendlier people than at Kitty O'Shea's Killarney.
Now, we've been listening to Emma Quirk, a former regular contributor to this programme, who's been telling us about an extremely difficult health crisis she's had in the last number of years. Here's part two of that interview.
I know that, because I know you did an interview with the Irish Independent as well, that like all kinds of things come into your head, and you were even saying in the interview that you're an only child, and you were kind of thinking, you know, your parents won't have the opportunity to be grandparents, and that was something that went through your head.
Oh, like that was the initial thought, like that day, even when we came out of the clinic, I just looked at her, at Mom, and I just said, I'm so sorry. Like, it just was like guilt and shame.
I know.
But thankfully we've moved forward from that. Look, I suppose I've met another consultant in the last year just from reading her book, Dr. Mary Ryan. She has been fantastic as well to me. She has given me hope. She's helped me medically along with all my story and my journey. And in May last year, I started working. So as I had mentioned earlier, I had been with a counsellor, and then I furthered on to a psychologist last May. So that has been massive, massive, massive work for me as well.
Oh, brilliant. And so, Emma,
Do
you think now, looking into the future, I know you're, you know, at the moment is probably the last thing on your mind, but, you know, should you meet someone, should there be a serious romance in the offing in the future? Or maybe even if you don't, you know, a lot of women go solo nowadays.
Yeah.
Are you determined that you'll be a mom someday?
I suppose now that I've had, I suppose, nearly 2 years for it all to sink in, you know, and for it to say, right, what do I do? And I think outside of the shame and the guilt at the time with my parents, I remember just saying like a few weeks later, how do you ever tell a potential partner of this? Like, how do you ever expect someone to love you for this, or love you for who you are? You know, like, there was all these questions just going on in my head. But look, as you asked there about the child, yeah, look, whatever way it'll happen, it'll happen. But my aim is eventually to have, to bring a child into the world and give that child the best life possible.
And you remain really hopeful in that regard and optimistic.
Yeah, and you have to, I think, you know, when you sit back and eventually kind of absorb it all, really, like, you just have to have that bit of positivity about it. I think if you keep the negative side of it all the time, you just end up just living in a negative world. I've had to, you know, I've had to pick myself up many a day and dust myself off and just get on with life, you know. And I'm like, look, when things are meant to happen, they're meant to happen. Look, I'm not even 2 years on HRT, and that was something they did advise to stay away, you know, from trying anything for 2 years. But I'm like, I suppose my life is only beginning in the last maybe 18 months. My weight has started coming down. I'm starting to really feel like myself again. You know, the anxiety and the depression has really settled for me. You know, I'm allowing myself to get back out there again. Like, I was hiding away from everyone and everything.
Yeah, I know.
So it's been a huge journey, but look, I suppose me creating awareness and on this story and being very raw with the story that I tell is just to give women hope out there and young girls. Like, the condition that we talked about that I was diagnosed with, as young as 15-year-olds are now being diagnosed with this.
My goodness. Really?
Yeah. So it's very unfortunate that in the country of Ireland, we have zero supports for anyone that is diagnosed with POI. I found a charity-based group in England. They're known as the Daisy Network. Their information and knowledge has been just unbelievable, and the support that they give to any member of their group. They have put me in contact with a networker here in Ireland. Her name is Catherine O'Keefe. She's known as the Wellness Warrior on social media. And she has just reached out and just been fantastic to me in the last few days as well. So it's just all about building that support. But before I go any further, like, I just want to say thanks to every single individual that has reached out in the last 48 hours to me, on all forms of social media and through the phone and any type of contact, for my bravery of telling my story. But it's not about being brave. It's just about using my voice now to help other women that don't have to go through what I've had to, I suppose, endure for the last 4 years. Yeah. And all I want to do is create a platform for all these women, that they know that they can use their voice as well and to be heard.
Yeah, very well said. Well, listen, Emma, we won't keep you any longer. I'm delighted to know that you're hairdressing. You're still with Sean Taff, I presume.
Yes.
And you're getting your life back together slowly but surely. And all we can do is wish you every good luck and good health in the future. And thanks so much for sharing your story with us, Emma.
I appreciate it, Deirdre. Thank you. And thanks for having me on.
There you go. So now you know the real story why Emma had to leave her regular slot on Radio Kerry when she was talking about hair and giving people advice. And it was a very popular slot too. I know lots of you were surprised and disappointed when that slot had come to an end. And now you know why. And you also know why she had to close down her hair salon. So what a journey Emma has been through. And then at the end of it, to get a blow like that, to hear that her chances of conceiving a child naturally are just non-existent, basically. But you know what? She's a strong woman. She's a great girl. She's got so much going for her. And I think she's going to have a bright future ahead of her, and hopefully will get her dream of having a baby of her own someday in some way. I think it'll happen for her. So lots of you have been getting in touch here, just sharing your own stories of infertility and disappointment and all of that. So I think Emma has done something very positive and really struck a chord with a lot of you out there. 083 300 3300, back in a moment.
Enjoy real savings this week at Super Value. Like Super Value fresh Irish large pack meats such as steak, beef mince and whole chicken, only €5. Selected fruit and veg such as orange net 5-piece, 79 cent each. And scan your card or app and get Campo Viejo Reserva 6-pack, only €50. Make real savings every week at Super Value. Enjoy alcohol responsibly.
Yeah, some lovely comments coming in. Noreen was in touch, and Noreen says, Emma is such a brave lady, wishing her all the very best in her future. Have faith, Emma, and keep going. Catherine and Cahir Savine says, tell Emma not to give up hope. I was never meant to have a child naturally either. I have only one tube, which is twisted, and nothing was ever meant to get through that. That and other medical conditions. I now have a 25-year-old beautiful daughter. Trust in nature. It's amazing. My doctors couldn't believe it when I told them I was pregnant. Keep going, girl. You will be an amazing mother someday. That for Emma from Catherine in Cahir Sivean. Kathleen says, listening to Emma, my heart goes out to her. My only daughter went through the very same. She had ovarian failure. Her heart was broken in two. She never had children, even though she's happily married. This brings it all back. I pray for Emma. I know she's in a lot of pain. I think the pain of longing for a baby is always there, says Kathleen. Another listener says, Deirdre, my heart breaks for Emma, having had 5 rounds of unsuccessful ICSI, which is like IVF. I feel her pain regarding the children's side of things. I hope she gets well soon and finds peace to move forward, wishing her all the very best in the future. And that's just some of the comments that have come in. So thank you to Emma for that again, and for opening up this debate. There's an awful lot of people out there, and you know there are people out there as well. And let's remember those who maybe just never met a partner. Not everybody wants to go it alone, but a lot of people out there just never met the right person with whom to start a family and wanted that life and wanted to go down that road, but it just didn't happen for them. And there mightn't have been any medical reason. It might be just that they never met anybody and then they reached a certain age and it was no longer possible. So let's remember all them too while we talk about this.